It is great to see you all today. Welcome to church today. My name's Kevin. I get to be one of the staff members, one of the pastors that gets to lead this amazing campus of North Langley Community Church. A number of you were here last week for our birthday party, right? Like, that was so fun. We are 2 years old now, two in a week, and that was really special. So I just, really quick, the week before that, I was preaching, and halfway during my 11 o'clock sermon, I started thinking, like, while I was talking, I'm feeling really bad, and I'm feeling really sick, and I'm not sure I'm going to make it through this sermon. The 9 a.m. was okay, so you came to the good one 2 weeks ago. But halfway through the 11, I was like, this isn't working. I couldn't close my eyes when I was worshiping, or I started getting really dizzy. So I went home and I crashed, and later found out I had COVID. So sorry if we were hanging out 2 weeks ago. I apologize for that. But then what ended up happening was I had to take almost that whole week off of work because I was pretty sick at home. And so like the week leading up to our big birthday party and Thanksgiving celebration, I did nothing. Like, and our staff team and our volunteer team did so much work to make it all happen without me. And so I'm just so thankful to be on a team where like the lead pastor of the campus can just like ditch for a week and still have it be awesome. Like, we don't really need Kevin at Aldergrove. We've got John and Matthew and Caleb and Isaac and all these great people and amazing volunteers. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who helped make that happen. We also had a pie-eating contest. Now would be a really good time if you have pictures of the pie-eating contest, go ahead and delete them. I did look at some of those and of myself eating the pie, and I'd just like to get rid of those. So go ahead and delete any photos you have of that from last week. If you are new or just kind of checking out Aldergrove today, welcome here. We are on week 7 of an 8-week sermon series called First Love. So we're almost at the end. Next week, Pastor Matthew Price is going to be here, and he's going to be leading us through a sermon on repentance and confession. So I'm looking forward to wrapping up the series next week. But we're going through the series right now, and we're basing it on a verse that's from Revelation chapter 2. And the verse says this. This is a great church that Jesus is talking to. They're doing all sorts of really wonderful things, like they have good leadership and solid theology. But Jesus says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." And I think that this is a kind of a sobering text for us to look at and be like, we can be doing all this really great stuff. We can be doing all the good things about church and still miss the point. So I hope that through the series, through the 8 weeks that we're doing this series, that you're taking some time to reflect and think about, why do I do church? Like, why do I do the things that Christians do? Why do I come to church? Why do I pray? Why do I read my Bible? And that we're actually using those things as tools, not to just like be good Christians, but to connect us to the life-changing power of Jesus, to know him more. Because I think that, like, honestly, in my own journey, sometimes my faith has really felt like a long obedience in the same direction, right? Like, not every day is like rainbows and butterflies, right? But I don't think that that's God's goal for us in following him, is a boring, dry, stagnant faith. I believe that God's goal for us is to know him, to like have a love and affection for God, and to know the love and affection he has for us that surpasses all the other loves and affections that we have in our lives. And so we follow him not out of duty and obedience, but out of love and relationship. And so I'm really excited that today we get to talk about how prayer connects us to our first love. Today we're talking about prayer. Now, if you've been hanging out at North Langley for a long time, you might remember that in fall 2019, so like 5 years ago, we did a whole series on the Lord's Prayer, which we called People on Our Knees, a People of Prayer. And so we used this image, and we did 8 weeks on that. And prayer is something that to be honest, we want to be known for as a church, right? Like, if someone in the community were to say, hey, what's kind of a defining feature of North Langley? Like, my hope is that they'd be like, oh, that's a church that prays, right? We want to be known as a church that prays. If you walk in our lobby, we have our four values that are shared across all of our campuses that have been our four values since long before I came to North Langley. And our first one is on our knees, right? Like, you've probably seen this image in the foyer. And with our other three values. Because we want to be a church of prayer. Like, I really believe that as a church, as people, that we get to actually dictate our own priorities. that we can decide what's important to us as individuals and as a community. And in choosing our priorities, we actually get to shape and help form our DNA as a church. And so I really hope that prayer is kind of a formational, foundational piece of our DNA as a church. When I came to North Langley, I've been on staff here for about 9 years. I was actually really surprised at how much this church prayed, right? Like, I've been a part of other churches, and churches pray for the most part, right? Like, that's good. But when I came here, and it still happens, almost every morning when we start the workday, the staff of North Langley, whether or not we're here at Aldergrove or at our Walnut Grove office, we come together and we spend about 20 or 30 minutes praying together, like every morning, before we start our workday. And we pray for you, and we pray for each other and the things that we're doing, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and guide and direct us that day. As leaders, we have an elder board that oversees all of our campuses, and we also have a leadership team that is focused on leading this campus here at Aldergrove. And both of those teams, they meet together, and they're busy, and they have a lot to do, but they dedicate at least 30 minutes at each one of those meetings to be in prayer for our church, prayer that the Holy Spirit would lead us. And I say this not to try and make us sound holy or special, but I say this because we really do want to be a church that is known for prayer. We really do believe that prayer is foundational to who we are as apprentices of Jesus. Okay, one of my favorite bands. Does anyone know the band 21 Pilots? Yeah, a few people know that band. It's one of my favorite bands. They have a song that isn't about prayer, okay? This is not about prayer, but it always makes me think about prayer. They have a song called Car Radio. Now, some of you might know this, and this is a song that the guy wrote, and someone stole his car radio, right? Like, he went to his car one day, he's like, my stereo's gone, and he hasn't replaced it yet. And so he wrote a song about how he hates driving now, because when he gets in his car, he doesn't have any noise to distract him, and that he's there with his thoughts, and that his thoughts actually go to big and heavy things, and he starts thinking about things that he's normally distracted from. Things that are actually meaningful, things that are scary and terrifying. And so without those distractions, he starts to have these thoughts, and this is what he says. He says, I ponder of something terrifying, because this time there's no sound to hide behind. I find over the course of human existence, one thing consists of consistence, and that's that we're all battling fear. Oh dear, I don't know why we're here. Oh my, too deep, stop thinking. I liked it better when my car had sound. He goes on to say, like, his mind's starting to spiral. He says, sometimes quiet is violent. I hate this car I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel because there's no distraction to mask what is real. I could pull the steering wheel. I have these thoughts so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought because somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. I hope that today we can sit in some silence, right? We can get into an uncomfortable place where we're thinking about our prayer life and we're thinking about being challenged and being stretched, that we're willing to go to uncomfortable places. Today, I'm actually so excited that we get to talk about prayer. Now, I've been going to church for a long time, and so I know that when I say, hey, we're going to have a sermon about prayer today, that there's some natural responses that I've thought of when I'm sitting where you are listening to a sermon on prayer. And my first thought is always like, oh, the pastor's going to guilt me into praying more, right? Like, and so I want you to know that's really not what I'm trying to do today. Like, if you're like, you know what, I'm feeling guilty that I should pray more, I hope that that's the Holy Spirit and it's not me. Like, that's not my goal today. I'm not trying to guilt you. I don't want to guilt you into thinking you don't pray enough or that your prayers aren't good enough. That's not what I am trying to accomplish today. I also hope that because if you've been attending church for a while, or maybe you don't even pray, like you're just new to this and you're not sure what you think about prayer, that you don't tune me out today because you think that, you know what, like, I don't pray, so this isn't for me. I hope that today you actually feel some excitement and some enthusiasm about what prayer could be for you. And I also hope that if you've heard a lot of sermons on prayer and you think, like, you know what, like, I've been following Jesus for a while. Me and Jesus, we kind of have this understanding now. And he knows what I pray like, and I know what I pray like, and that's not going to change. Like, there's nothing Kevin could say today that's going to make me think about prayer or change how I pray, so I'm just tuning out. I hope that's not the case for you today, so I hope you're willing to be stretched and to try something new today. Because really, on one level, like, prayer's really simple, right? Like, it's something that we teach children to do. It's not that difficult. It's just having a conversation with God. It's telling him what we think and what we feel and what we're scared of and what we're nervous about, areas where we need help, things that we want to see happen. Like, we pray for these things. It's actually pretty natural for humans to pray. And we do it in all sorts of different ways. We pray out loud. We pray together as a community. We sometimes pray out loud by ourselves or in our own minds, and we pray in our hearts. Sometimes we pray through music or through poetry or through art. There's lots of ways that we can pray. Sometimes I need to step back and think about what prayer really is. Like sometimes I just get floored by prayer, like that I get to pray, right? Do you ever think about how crazy that is? Like the God who made the universe, the God who invented space and time, the God who lives outside of space and time, the God who walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, the God who called Moses through the burning bush and said, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground right now. That same God who came to earth as a baby, who lived as Jesus, that same God who went to the cross and died for your sins and for mine, the same God who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, the same God that came in power with tongues of fire at Pentecost, like that same God is the God that I get to actually talk to, and he listens. Like, how crazy is that? How amazing. What is it? What kind of gift is it that we even can approach God in prayer? God is so big and so powerful, but he's also so close and so near that we can talk to him. Like, what a gift. There's a term for this that I remember learning about way back in Bible school that's changed kind of how I pray and how I worship and kind of how I approach God. And that is that God is both transcendent and immanent. He's kind of these two things that are actually kind of the opposite of one another. And so I want you to think about it like a spectrum, right? Like if on this end of the spectrum, we have God's transcendence. This is his holiness. This is how God is so far above us. This is that God is sinless, that he is righteous. This is the part where God is king. And so we approach him with fear and with trembling. We approach him knowing that he is powerful and can do all things, that he is that powerful God, that he is the creator God. And so we approach him with a level of like formality, right? This is why for a long time and still people like to dress up to come to church and why we like to say like the right things and we try and put our best foot forward because we're approaching a God who is holy, who is transcendent, who is above us, right? That's who God is. But at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, we know that God is immanent, which means that he is near, that he is close, that God is personal, that I can be casual with God, that the Bible says that God is a friend of sinners, says that he loves me like a father loves his son, that he loves me and takes care of me like a hen who gathers her chicks and protects them from the rain under her wings. Like, that God is close and that he is near, that he is both transcendent, big and powerful and majestic, but he's also personal and relational and close to me. Like, what an amazing concept of who God is. Like, sometimes I think that each one of us has a place on that spectrum that we default to, right? I want you to think about where you might be on this spectrum. Like, do you approach God as more of a friend in a more casual way? Like, this is the side where we wear shorts and flip-flops to church, and it's like, yeah, me and God, we're cool, right? And so, like, maybe that's great and that's beautiful, or maybe you're like, no, I love the old King James, and I love to be formal and traditional with God, and so I want you to think about where you default on this spectrum. And I want to challenge you today to think about looking at God, either through worship or through prayer is what we're talking about today, through a different place on that spectrum. If you lean towards the holiness of God, take time to try and know him as a friend. And if you only know him as a friend, take time to try and think of him as your king, right? So I want to challenge you to think about moving along that spectrum today. For me at home, Christina, my wife, she knows me better than anyone. And I was thinking about how, like, when we first started dating, like, I was very careful about what clothes I would choose when I would go to see her. Like, I'd be very careful about, like, is this music cool enough to play in front of my girlfriend? Like, is this restaurant good enough to bring her to? And I was very careful. And, like, you open the car door. And so I think about that as kind of like the formal transcendent side of my relationship. And then on the other side, now that we've been married for a long time, like, Christina sees me at my worst, right? Like, she sees me when I've been on my pajamas all day, when I haven't left the house, I haven't showered, I'm sitting on the couch just eating chips and wiping my hands on my shirt and watching Friends or The Office for the 20th time, right? And I love that Christina and I have a relationship where I can be both of those things, right? But sometimes still, even though we know each other in this imminent, close, near way now, sometimes it's actually really important for me to, like, get off the couch, to have a shower and put on some clothes, to take her out somewhere nice, to open the car door for her, to let her know that I appreciate her and value her and respect her. Like, we need both of those sides in our relationship, and I think it's true with God as well. So I want to challenge you today to not just default to one spot on that spectrum every time that we approach God, because we get to enjoy, right? Think about it. We get to enjoy that God is both transcendent and immanent at the same time. Okay, I want to share a text, a passage today, and it's going to be from Luke chapter 11. And this is a great passage where the disciples ask Jesus, and they say, Jesus, tell us about prayer. And then he shares the Lord's Prayer with them. So he kind of shares the version of the Lord's Prayer we have in Luke. And then right after that, still on the topic of prayer, this is what Jesus says. He says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has come on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to give him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked. My children and I, we're all tucked in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, right? Great. This is like the imminence, the shameless part, right? Like, this is the crisis part. I need help. And you, like, throw, like, protocol to the wind. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. This parable doesn't make a lot of sense to us today. We're kind of removed from the cultural context in which Jesus is talking. Like, if someone came to my house late at night and Doreen lives down the street from me, and I go knock on Doreen's door at midnight and say, give me some food, she would be like, what are you doing? This isn't how our society works. We don't do this. I can go to McDonald's drive-thru late at night, or I can call DoorDash and someone will literally bring me food. So we don't do this type of thing that Jesus is talking about. But at Jesus' time, and the people he was talking to, hospitality was like the most important thing. Like, if someone showed up your house, even if it was late and you didn't have food to offer them, of course you would go knock on your neighbor's door. Like, that's not the surprising part of this parable. The surprising part of this parable is that the lame excuses that the guy inside the house gives. That's what would have surprised Jesus' listeners. They would have been like, what do you mean the door's already locked? Like, unlock the door, no big deal, right? Like, so what if everyone's sleeping? Get up. It's not that, but, like, you can get up. Go give the bread, right? Like, that was the surprising part to Jesus' listeners. I want you to imagine that it's midnight and your neighbor calls you and you're friends with your neighbor. And your neighbor says, my wife just went into labor and my car won't start. Can I borrow your car or can you drive us to the hospital? And you reply, you know what? I already turned out the lights. Right? Like, I already closed the garage door. Sorry, the car's away for the night, right? Like, we wouldn't do that. No, of course, if our friend, if our neighbor said to us, like, my wife is in labor, get us to the hospital, you're going to get up and either drive them to the hospital or give them your car, right? Like, that's the kind of conversation Jesus is saying is happening here. So after that, he kind of brings it back to prayer. And this is what he says in verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I love this, but I also think it's really important that we're like, okay, what is Jesus talking about here? Because this sounds like it could be just kind of a formula that we use to get what we want from God in prayer, right? Like, is this what I do? I ask, I seek, and I knock, and then you give me a new phone or a new car, or like I get that job that I really wanted. Like, I think it's actually really important, like, what do we seek and ask and knock for? And so then Jesus describes it in verse 11. He says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil," nice little comment by Jesus, "know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Like, Jesus is saying, if you are the tired, old, grumpy neighbor tucked away at bed, and someone knocks on your door, even you know to get up and help them. Even you know to help your neighbor get to the hospital when his wife is in labor. You as parents, you know how to give your kids food, and you're not going to give them things that harm them, like scorpions and snakes. Though some of you may be as pets, but that's a bad idea. Those are gross. Don't do that. But Jesus is saying, like, if we know how to do that, and we're evil, if we're prone to sin and selfishness, but we know how to do that, how much more does God want to give good gifts to his children? Now, this is a rhetorical question because the answer is, like, obviously a lot more. Like, God knows how to give good gifts to his children way more than we do. But I think that this verse ends with the best point. Like, I think the last line is the best one. This is the part that I want to talk about today, where Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit?" What's he want to give? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Like, Jesus is saying that when we pray to God, it's not like we're praying to Santa and just asking him to deliver us gifts off of our list, but we're talking to our Father who wants to give us more of himself, more of his Spirit, more of his presence. He wants us to experience his love and his intimacy. And when we're asking for things like fish and eggs, and we're asking for our political party to win, and we're asking for a new phone, we're asking for all these things, what Jesus is saying is, ask for the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants. God wants to give you more of himself. So I think a good question is, do we actually pray for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Because Jesus is saying here that this is something we can pray for that the Father will always say yes to. He will always say yes to giving more of himself. I like to think of my faith journey as like I'm driving in a car or walking on a path, and like I'm going down the road and I'm growing and I'm hanging out with Jesus and we're learning things and doing things, and that we're moving forward, right? But sometimes in my faith journey, I actually get kind of comfortable and I like where I am. And I'm like, going further sounds hard. I actually want to pull over at this rest stop. And there's a gas station where I can get snacks, right? Like, I don't want to keep going. I want to take a break. And then sometimes, instead of pulling over for a rest stop or pulling over for a bathroom break, it turns into like a campsite. And I'm like hanging out there for a long, long time. And I think that Jesus is saying to us, don't park on the highway of your faith journey. Like, keep moving forward. Jesus wants to keep giving you more of himself, to not become content with where we are with God, that he always has more to give us. The oldest prayer that I know of in the Christian church is this very simple prayer that is, "Come, Holy Spirit." This is the oldest prayer. We've been praying it as Christians for almost 2,000 years. And it's still something that I love to pray today. This has been a prayer. These three words have changed how I view God. It's changed my perspective on that transcendence and that imminent spectrum. I believe that when I'm tired, I know that when I'm tired and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm really mad at someone and I'm discouraged and I'm just feeling that resentment or that anger build, I know that the best thing I can do is not pray that they're going to see that I'm right, or not pray that they're going to start to see things my way. I have learned the best thing I can pray is, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come into my anger. Come into my frustration, come into my bitterness, come into my resentment, come into my hatred, come, Holy Spirit." And when I'm full of fear and scared about circumstances and world events and politics and things that are going on in the world, when I'm scared about finances, when I'm scared about worst case scenarios, I pray for those things to be relieved, but I have found that for me, the best thing I can do is pray, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, enter into my fear. come enter into the situation that is bigger than I can handle on my own. I know that when I feel lonely, when I feel unseen or unloved or unwanted, the best thing I can pray is, come, Holy Spirit, remind me who I am. Remind me of your love, of your goodness, of your faithfulness in my life. I know that when I'm broken and at the end of my rope, the best thing I can pray is, come, Holy Spirit, give me more of yourself. Build me up again. Give me more of your love, your grace. Remind me of my identity, of the joy of every breath that I get to take in following you. Give me more of yourself. And when we pray for God's Holy Spirit, we're actually, that's what we're praying. We don't have time to get into it, but one of the words we use that's kind of a transcendent word that we use to describe God is the Trinity. And that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, that's God himself. We're asking for God to give us more of himself. He promises to do that. And it's a good gift, better than a fish or an egg or anything else. The presence of God, that we can experience both the transcendence and the power of God and the nearness and the imminence of God. So I want to ask a question. In what ways have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? In what ways can you pray the Holy Spirit into your life? Going to do something a little bit different right now. I'm going to invite up my friends Chris and Hannah. Chris and Hannah, they know I'm inviting them up, by the way. They've been coming to the Aldergrove campus basically since we launched, and they have a really cool story about prayer that I've asked them to share today. So I'm going to invite you guys up. Can we welcome Chris and Hannah? All right.
Hello.
We did kind of talk about some questions so that I wasn't going to surprise you. But before we ask you the hard questions, just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you ended up here at Aldergrove.
Sure. If it's not obvious, I'm Chris. This is my wife, Hannah. We were both born and raised in Christian homes here in the Lower Mainland. We're going to be celebrating 10 years of marriage next year.
Yeah.
I'm older than I look, maybe. I don't know. I manage a music store, and Hannah works reception at a high school. We moved to Langley in 2018, and even with all the hardship and craziness of the pandemic, it ended up being a good reset for us to look for a church community closer to home. Friends of ours invited us to try out this new church plant in Aldergrove, and we agreed. There weren't even carpets. It was great.
That's right.
And we've been here ever since.
Awesome. And you guys have a really cool story about prayer, and I actually got to be there for part of the story, and you shared parts of that story with me. Would you mind just sharing that story with us, and feel free to include any backstory that would be helpful for us to know your story?
Yes, I've managed to condense the story because it's a bit of a long one, so I'm just going to look down at my paper here. Chris and I started a journey to grow our family in mid-2019. The only obstacle we seemed to have was in a regular cycle. We were referred to fertility specialists in early 21 and underwent many tests, all of which concluded we shouldn't be struggling. I underwent treatment with no success. After 3 years, we were given a diagnosis of unexplained infertility and advised that IVF was the only option. We knew IVF wasn't the path we wanted to take, so we decided it was time for a break, no more tracking, no more specialists, no more treatments. Up to this point, we remained optimistic with hope and prayer, but there was a precise moment for me that summer where the dam released and the water swallowed me whole. I remember New Year's Eve 2022 vividly, attending a party, exuding happiness whilst concealing sorrow. That year, I had entered a profound valley of grief with no light at the end. I let myself be overcome with sorrow when I got home, holding on to God as my life preserver, surrounded by nothing but ocean. January 1st, 2023, the very next day, we got ourselves up, and it wasn't until we got to the church building we discovered the service was actually at the Walnut Grove campus. We arrived mid-worship, and an usher found us a seat. The message preached couldn't have hit harder, being in a season of waiting. The service concluded with Highland's Song of Ascent. I hate crying in public and knew if I asked for prayer, I'd fall apart. So I chickened out and desperately wished I hadn't. Our lead pastor walked over to say hello. The "Everything is fine, Hannah" was center stage when a man approached. We moved to wrap up our conversation, but the man asked to be introduced to us. He explained God had sent him over to pray. The last leg I was standing on was ripped from under me, and I just sobbed. Chris explained our battle with infertility. Our pastor and the man prayed with us for God's guidance, his will, his peace. When we finished, the man summed it up perfectly. I can't promise God will give you a child, but what I can say without question is God hears you. Before the man spoke these words, I had already taken them to heart. I experienced them in this precious moment. God showed me how he knows me, hears me, loves me, and this sustained me.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So how would you describe what God did to you in that moment and the moments that followed? Like, what happened in your mind and your heart?
Up until that point, I was so emotionally drained that I was spiritually exhausted. Conceptually, there are so many more bigger things going on in the world that it's hard to acknowledge God's desire to be with us through our own troubles. My heart had been filled so dramatically with peace that the anguish of potentially never having children was eclipsed by this taste of God's love for me.
Yeah, and so Hannah came and she shared kind of what God did in that moment a few times. And so the reason why I really wanted Hannah and Chris to share this story is because of what God did in you. And earlier this year in the summer, you made a Facebook post, and I'm just going to read part of that right now. You said, 2023 should have been one of the most difficult years of my life, but instead God had primed me for it to be the most healing. In March, I had the privilege to be by my grandfather's side as he passed, to be by my dearest friend's side as she labored and gave birth to her beautiful baby girl, and with my sister as she labored and gave birth to my beautiful niece. His goodness continued to overwhelm me. Hannah, I can't imagine like being with your sister and your best friend as they labored and gave birth to children, what that was like for you struggling and on a long, painful journey with infertility. Like, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I walked into 2023 not only with a filled heart, but one that was overflowing beyond what I could ever imagine. Instead of beginning the year thinking, this is something I just have to live with, it became, I get to walk through this with my Heavenly Father. And because of this, I saw him in all of these experiences. I've also come to realize that God puts me in situations where I come face to face with my fears or things I dread when he knows I'm ready. I remember going through a time where the concept of death was overwhelming, so he put me to work in a senior's home. And likewise, he primed my heart to come face to face and witness two very important women in my life become mothers. And all I could feel was amazement and profound gratitude.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Is there anything else, part of your story, that you'd like to share?
I think the simple thing is we didn't know where this journey would lead. It's become a realization, and like you said earlier, prayer is not a guarantee for things you're asking for, but it is companionship and relationship with our Heavenly Father. That being said, after 5 years, the weekend of Father's Day, we found out we're expecting. February seems like a long time away, but it's going to be here before we know it.
That's amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. Can I pray for you before you guys go? Lord, thank you for Chris and Hannah's story. Thank you for how you've been working in their lives and their hearts. Thank you for the supernatural thing you did in their hearts and their minds, that New Year's Day service. Thank you for this man who came and prayed for Hannah and for Chris. And Lord, it is beautiful what happens when you come, Holy Spirit, and you fill our hearts with peace and with joy, and you allow us to get through things we could never get through on our own. And so thank you that is part of their story. And thank you so much, Lord, that there is a new life, a life that you love, an eternal life that is growing in Hannah right now. And so we ask that you would keep her and her baby safe, that you would bless Chris and Hannah as a couple, as they're waiting for this exciting thing to happen in February. And so, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you. Let's give it up for them one more time. I really do believe prayer is powerful, and I didn't share that story. I didn't ask them to share their story because they are expecting now. I asked them to share because of what God did in their hearts and their minds before they were pregnant. And so, yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I believe that God meets us by giving us more of His Spirit, by praying, come, Holy Spirit, into those moments. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now. One of the questions that we've been asking through this series is, what if your best days of following Jesus are still in front of you? Right? Like, what if the best is still to come? What if your best prayer life that you've ever experienced is just around the corner, right? Like, you're just on the verge, the precipice of the next beautiful thing, to experience more of God, to know more of His presence in your life, to be able to walk with contentment and peace through circumstances and situations that there's no business of you walking with peace and contentment through. I believe God wants to give you more of Himself, more of Him, more of His Spirit. Jesus stands at the door of our hearts, and he asks, and He seeks, and He knocks, just waiting for us to invite Him in, just waiting for us to pray, come, Holy Spirit. I believe God wants you to know Him deeply, authentically. I believe that God wants to be with you in the sorrow, in the heartache, in the parts that are too hard to carry on your own. And He wants to rejoice with you in the parts that are beautiful and light and easy, and the things that we love about our lives. And so in all of those circumstances, whether we're approaching God as a transcendent, holy God that we need to intercede on our behalf, or if we're approaching God as a friend and someone that we can come to just as we are, that He is a beautiful God, and we pray, come, Holy Spirit. So I pray that we, through praying this prayer, come, Holy Spirit, would experience more of the transcendence of God in our lives and more of the imminence of God in our lives. Because prayer is a powerful protest to everything that we know is wrong in the world, right? Like, that's what we pray for. So I want to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to invite you to stand right now, and we're going to turn out the lights a little bit here. And we're going to sing two songs to close our service today. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit uncomfortable, right? Like car stereo, like getting in the car and having just your thoughts in your mind. So I'm going to ask you to do something that might feel uncomfortable. But if we talk about being on this spectrum, on this journey, and maybe we're stuck at a rest stop, or maybe you're trying to view God through a different image, through more of His transcendence or more of His imminence, I want you to try something symbolically to represent trying to see God and experience God through a new lens, through a new posture, as it were. We almost always have prayer at the front up here. We're actually not going to do that today. After all this talk about prayer, we're actually skipping the prayer part at the front. The prayer room is open, and so if you'd like to visit the prayer room, that's great. But I'm going to invite you to actually come to the front for personal prayer. To come to the front and pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come in my brokenness. Come in my suffering. Come in my sin. Come whatever it is, whatever you're going through, the thing that you want to pray, pray the Holy Spirit to come and enter into that thing. And as you pray and as you worship, no one's going to come and ask you what they can pray for. But it's actually nice that there aren't like we're not full, because we could actually all come to the front. And it's not something that we do to make us more holy. It's not something we do that is like a spiritual superiority or anything like that. Like, I want to invite you to experience God through a new lens, through a new place, through a new experience. To be honest, the music sounds different up here, right? The view is different up here. So I'm going to invite you during these last two songs to just come to the front and to just worship and to pray, come Holy Spirit. I invite you to come near to the cross, near to the place where Jesus made a way that we could experience the love of God, that we could experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come near to the cross, the place where God's love is most evident for you in your life and in the world, that come near to the cross, where God draws us to himself. It's always a little bit risky doing something like this, but if we could even turn out the lights above the stage here, and for these last two songs, I'm just going to invite you to come. And so, Holy Spirit, may you come. May you come and may you make this holy, sacred ground today. Holy Spirit, we confess that we pray things and we ask for specific things, but really the good gift that we all need is more of you in our lives. And so I pray that we would experience you in a new spot, and that we would have a new appreciation for your transcendence, for your holiness, and a new appreciation for your closeness, for your imminence, and that you would just move us to a new place where maybe we're stuck on that journey of faith. Get us away from the rest stop and moving down the journey of faith. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, move in our lives today. Amen. So as the team leads us, I invite you to just come forward and spend two songs worshiping and praying here at the front.